Welcome to Eagle Nation. Don't forget to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter so you never miss an episode.
The Eagles are coming off the best showing this season, even though it was a loss. But at home, they will fancy themselves against the Tigers for the first win of the season. Tigers are coming off a 7-point loss, but they love playing over here. Before we get into the game, I'll welcome Dan. How you going, mate?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Not bad. Good to be here.
We recorded this show once already, so we had technical difficulties on Monday, and somehow I lost both shows. So sorry for the audio on the final siren as well, guys. But we're doing it again because we want to bring it to you, and everyone's been asking for it. I want to thank Tom for being a sponsor at Plus Fitness. See you, Becca. And if there's anyone out there with computers that wants to be a sponsor for one of the shows, give me a message because I need a new one. And go to Linktree where you can access all our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and you can download shows from there if you want. All right, Eagles versus Richmond, 18th versus 14th at Optus Stadium this Sunday at 2 p.m. It's going to be a different game altogether now, Dan. Do you think we have any chance, mate?
Oh, this is the best chance we've had all year. This is the game on the calendar that should have been circled even coming into the season as our most likely chance to get a win. Now, we have to be realistically, we are going into this game as outsiders and kind of gross outsiders considering it's at home. It's just from $9 down to $3. It's not too bad, you know what I mean? And it's just to see if the young boys go out there with, you know, switched on. But, yeah, I we've had so much heartache over the years. I'm not confident in a win anymore, but I'd love a win, and this is a winnable game, in my opinion.
I got Eagles have won 27 wins and Richmond have won 23 in our history. Tigers have won four of the last five. Biggest win for the Eagles is 96 points back in 1994 at the MCG. And the biggest win for Richmond was a couple of years ago, 109 points at Optus. And we all remember that night very well. Let's talk about Richmond a bit. Their last game last week in the gather round, they played St Kilda. They led all the way until the last quarter. 9-6 to 9-13 was the end score. But Bolton was the main guy, 4 goals, and Dusty Martin back to 30 possessions. Did you watch any of the game?
I did watch a little bit of it, but it was quite a boring game. And I think that was maybe the one. That one had the overlap, didn't it? So I think I then turned over to Freo and Carlton, I think.
It's a weird-looking ground.
Yeah, so I did watch a bit of it because I remember the Norwood Oval was, like, squared with rounded edges.
Yep, and, like, I think it was weird all up St Kilda, Ross Lyon thought he had aliens playing for him in the first half.
God, he says some weird things, Ross Lyon. He's got a habit of that. Yeah, but it wasn't an overly impressive game. It had impressive performances, like Dusty had 30, but he hasn't been playing. Like last year, he was playing as a forward, you know what I mean? Like they had him basically forward all year, where Adam Uze's put him back in the midfield and he's had that impact. And Shai Bolton, we all know what a star he is. But, yeah, they're lacking their tools. So, yeah, as long as we can kind of break even with that. And anyone that remembers last year when they smashed us, it was all their midfielders kicking goals. So as long as we can prevent their midfielders from impacting the scoreboard too much, we should have a very good chance.
You just said Dustin Martin and all the things over here has been Harley Reid and how he's robbed for the rising star, but now he's got a new sponsor in Tempur and they talked about, you know, Barras talked about him and Dustin Martin and it's all over the news. Well, what did you make of that, mate? Because it is basically looking at your, you know, Harley Reid. He molds his game on Dustin Martin, sort of. So how do you see that? You think they'll match up?
I think, as I said, because Dusty's now in the midfield, I think it's bound to match up on each other eventually. Those things are very funny because they take quotes and then write their articles, but they're the ones asking the questions, and they're asking the questions with their narrative already in mind, if that makes sense, the media do.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have brought up Dusty. None of them would have brought up Dusty. But the media would have gone, oh, how would it be like lining up against Dusty, and then he answers the question. You know what I mean? So they ask the question knowing what they want to write about. And that's it, because it's basically they've both got the great fend-offs. And getting back a bit to what you said before, yeah, he 100% was robbed. Like, and it's just, it's ironic because the two plays you just talked about, he almost got the record. He was one off the record from all-time fend-offs in a game. And number one was Dusty with 8 and Reed had 7. So, yeah, they do play very similar games. They're big bodies that dust off and try and break 3 tackles and, yeah.
I love DeBrass's comments. That's all. I thought it was pretty good. And then Elliot Yeo's come out saying the same sort of thing. So, and a lot's been talked about on Channel 9 about Harley Reid, and it's good to see some East Coast media actually finally working out that it's just all a lot of noise. But Sam McClure, or Sam No Clure, still trying to back himself out of saying he's not going to stay, but pulling the jumper, hopefully it was directed at person, somebody like that. What do you reckon?
Oh, no, 100% think that's it, you know, and it's it kind of shows, you know, he's used him by name before, and Sam McClure, he's kind of, he's got a bit of that arrogance about him, but so does Harley Reid, to be honest. What I love about the kid is the arrogance he's got. Yeah. So I'm not saying it's always a negative thing, but he won't retract what he says, McClure, or anything like that. He's, you know, he's pretty hard on Eagles, but I think he's hard on us right now because, A, we are actually bad, but it's also because he was showing up and what he was reporting ended up being false. Now, he may have, when he wrote that story in his defence, he may have believed what he was writing 100%, but then he might not have. He might have been doing for clicks, but, yeah, but the information he was given was obviously false because Reid didn't tell us we didn't want to go, and Eagles did pick him, so obviously him reporting that we're not going to pick him was false, you know, so these things are false. And instead of backing down, he's doubling down on it. You know what I mean? That's fine, what he's doing lately. So I just try and ignore a bit of that. But that's all Dusty can – that's sorry, Dusty. All this Dusty talk's getting me then confused. All this Reid talk, it's good with that jumper pull, and it just shows that he is invested. And, he's here for 3 years. Hopefully we get that extra 1 year extension in a couple weeks maybe. Then that's 4 years. It's up to us to then keep him, you know.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario, if he does go, people seen his value. And imagine in 4 years when he's hitting his prime, his value then. So no one wanted Judd to leave, but we ended up with Chris Mast and Tony Knott and bloody Josh Kennedy, our leading goal kicker of all time for the club. So you know, picking him's a great move. Him being a club, he seems to love it here. He's got friends here. He had friends here before he even got to the club. You know what I mean? He was friends with Noah Long. He knew Chester, and I believe they're even closer now. Is it Rusko, the waffle player that's come over from GWS, that they're friends? I think they're roommates now. Gilby.
That's Gilby.
Is it Gilby? Yep. You know, and then Archer Reid, they played together in the Vic country, you know, where Archer Reid's the full forward on our list. You know, there's hopefully we see soon within a couple of weeks and stuff. And just touching on him, that'll be good because we finally got, I think, throwback to final siren when we said what big forwards we got in the waffle. Archer Reid should be back soon. So that's one player in 2 weeks that we'll be able to see, hopefully get some form and games into him because he hasn't played in a long time through injury in the waffle. So, yeah.
That's cool. Well, the squads have been released. So usually when we do this, we do it on a Monday. It's all about predicting. But we still are predicting because there's no outs for the Eagles. They've added Gaff, Brockman and Witherden to the bench. So it's basically last week's team with those three. So is there any chance, do you think Luke Edwards and Marek, they've both got to pass a fitness test tomorrow. Do you think either one of them plays or do you reckon one of them two will be out? I think Marek's out.
I have no idea why you would risk playing someone that had hamstring tightness.
Yeah.
Or broken ribs. So I don't know what you have to gain. This isn't Josh Kennedy up forward. And this isn't prime Luke Shuey in the midfield we're talking about that you need to win games and play these cards and these stars underdone. These are two kids. So why would you send kids out there that are under an injury cloud?
Well, the word was today,
makes no sense to me.
the word out of the Eagles was today he had no broken ribs.
Well, maybe he doesn't. So we only hear what we know from the media.
So who knows? I guess we'll find out on Friday around about this time, 4 o'clock, when they release the actual teams. And with Richmond, they've brought in Liam Baker, Sam Naismith, so they're going with the extra ruckman, Ralph Smith and Banks. And the only player who's been out is young Ross, who's injured. So he was out. And probably Kane McAuliffe probably will be out as well because I don't think he had much game time. So, and you look at that as good return that they got Liam Baker coming back in because he's going to add to their midfield. But you look at rest of their injury list, you got Dan Preciers, 6 weeks. Lynch is 10 to 12. Hopper's 4 weeks. Grimes played last week, didn't he? Did Grimes play last week?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah, he didn't.
He wasn't on the list here, but he could have.
Or was he coming back this week?
I can't remember. Maybe he's not been flying over.
I've got a feeling he might have played. I'm not sure.
No, he didn't play. So he's a notable out as well. So it's going to be interesting. We're getting him at the right time. You know, the Eagles have got their own injury concerns, but like we said, they're well documented. Elijah Hewitt's not going to play for half a season. Oscar Allen's still 8 weeks away. Bazo's 6 weeks. Flynn's 5. Young Burgle, he went from 4 to 5 to a week, so it was surprising. Not really. And as you said, Archer Reid, 1 to 2 weeks. And Brockman could come back in, and the pleasing thing is Liam Ryan's going to get half a game in the wobble this week, so he could be back the following week.
It's funny because I was talking about this today. Our injury list is the shortest we've ever seen, or not ever seen, but seen in the last 3 years, basically. But then I sat there and thought, how many of those players would be in our best 20? I think we would have, from that side from last week, probably 5 to 6 players, I think, would be in that squad if they were fit. So you've got Sheed, Cully and Ryan now in the waffle. I think they would probably be in the side if fully fit. Then you've got Oscar Allen, obviously, Matt Flynn, the ruckman. And I think they would both be in the side. And then Hewitt, who I'm high on as the young. So you still have that 5 to 6 players out of our best 22, 23, really.
Yeah.
But still, from what we've gone through to see that list is amazing. Like, I'm ecstatic with that list, yeah.
I heard today, like, you know, they want to see better effort from our waffle players. And Simo said basically it's a development squad, but he'd wants to see more out of his senior players. So hopefully some of them are pushing up. I'm a bit stunned that they didn't bring in somebody like a True or a Hall this week, but maybe that they can wait an extra week. It's going to be interesting. I just can't see Tree getting a game, to be honest, because if he's not coming in now, I just can't see him coming in.
Well, I do like those three inclusions. To be honest, the three inclusions we do have on the extended bench, I would play those three. I would have Marek out, Luke Edwards, and I think Rollison, he needs a full game. If he's going to – you don't want him being sub 2 weeks in a row, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he can go back and then you can find someone already on the squad that can be the sub, you know what I mean?
Well, it's going to be interesting.
Like maybe a Chesser, you know, give him a bit of the kick up the butt he needs, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll find out by the time some people listen to this, they might have the squad out. But this is our just prediction. So you're saying Gaff will come in as well, eh?
Yeah, Gaff was named, wasn't he? Gaff, Brock and Witherden and extended bench. Yeah,
three that. Come into
I'm happy with those inclusions. They would be the three I would bring in. Like, I would look at, maybe Witherden may be unlucky because our backman didn't get injured. You've got Luke Edwards, a wing slash forward, and then you've got Marek, who's a forward, you know. So Brockman can come in for Marek. They're not that tall in defence. They lost Noah Bolter, so they've lost a bit of height there, so it might pay with, you know, you've got Waterman and you've got Darling, Crash and Pax down there and Jack Williams too, sorry. And then just have the crummers around, you know, just try to bring that ball to the ground and bring Brockman, Noel Long and Jamie Cripps into the game that way. Then Gaff comes in obviously for Luke Edwards. So maybe Witherden might be unlucky just because there isn't that backman spot. That's not the spot we need, even though Witherden's actually been in okay form in Waffle. Yeah, but I'll say Marek, Luke Edwards, because of the injury clouds. Like, and even if they're not injured, they'll be sore. Let's be realistic. You don't sub a player out unless he's sore, and you don't rush a player to hospital unless he's sore. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, look,
well, for me personally, I'm not bringing Gaff in. I'm giving Chessa one more go on the wing, and I'm going to rejig the team around. I'd bring in Brockman, and I'd bring in Wiverton. And Wiverton will slot in the back line, and I'll be chucking Rotham up forward or on a wing to just try something different. That's just the way I'm rolling.
Bring Wiverton, Brockman in, leave Rollison in, but then drop Marek and Luke Edwards. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I would bring Gaff in. Gaff's a hard one because he's an older veteran. People are angry, and he was been in such bad form. But he's done exactly what you've asked of him at waffle level. Like, you couldn't ask him to do any more at waffle level. He's been our best player, and he always was going to be, but that's what he needed to get confidence. Because I think it was a confidence thing with him. I think he was getting so down because he wasn't getting any of the pill. So he needs to go back, get some form, show that he can still, get the ball. Because that's his asset. He's just accumulating possession. So that's all he needs to do.
Oh, I'd like to see him in come in with a team that's not as fast as Richmond. Richmond like that manic. Get the ball fast. I'd prefer him, if they're going to bring him against Freo, bring him in against Gold Coast, just so he doesn't come in and then his confidence is zapped again. But that's just me. We're all seeing it differently. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go with it. And then you just got to question yourself, if you do a hamstring strain, like you said, it's 3 weeks to me. But a lot of people are saying they're only 1 week, some of them these days. So I've never heard of that before, but I've only done my hammy once, and I know I was out for 3 to 4 weeks. So it's going to be interesting. Richmond, I've looked at their team descent. It's, like I said, it's very small. There's not many tours in their team. And that's across the board.
That's what I mean. So it's like you wouldn't have to have an overly tall forward line as long as you've got the crummers to crumb the ball. So what you find, if the tours don't mark the ball and they got a small defence, they'll just rebound very quickly.
Their defence
it wouldn't be bad putting, you mentioned Rotham, moving him out the back line. If you bring Wiverton in, put him on Vlosten, Put Rotham on Vlosten up forward as a tagging role. Yeah. Like a negating forward, you know what I mean? Yeah. And we've done that before. And I think that's something we have to look at. We can't allow, because there's accumulators and intercept players in the competition that just carve you up now from halfback. Gov does it for us. Vlosten does it for Tigers. Tom Stewart does it for Cats. There's just certain teams. Blakey, we talked about in Final Siren, did it for Swans. There's just certain players you need to tag from the opposition back line so they don't hurt you when you're going forward.
Yeah.
And Vlosten's that for the Tigers right now. So, yeah, I don't mind. You could do that with Wiverton, bring him in that way, and then move Rotham as a tagger basically up forward of Vlosten.
Yeah, look, Vlosten's having a good year. It's probably had one of the best starts of his year. So, he's having a good one. I'm just looking at some of their players in their team. I like some of their teams. Where will Rioli play off the halfback? He usually cuts us up. That's Daniel Rioli.
Yeah, he definitely plays halfback. Yeah.
Martin and Bolton up forward. So they're going to cause a few headaches. But this is a game that Eagles can win, as we said. If we can build the pressure, the thing that Simo was good today in his press conference was building the pressure, because the first 3 weeks we were 18th with pressure and last week we were 4th with pressure. So that's a big jump. So if they can build that pressure again, that's what Richmond don't like. They don't like people pressuring them. They like doing the pressuring. You know what I mean?
Did you hear about the players? What happened? Apparently, after that Bulldogs game, they got together all the players without the coaches and that, and yes, they just had a heart to heart one on one.
Simo said it was straight after training.
They just said, it's up to us to do better. And it is, like, because I know the head of the snake, which is the coach, is the one that you got to cut off if things are going bad. But the players got to own up. Like, Simo can't run and tackle for them. Do you know what I mean? And it's funny that we saw such a response in that Sydney game, and then hearing about the players, basically, it was very confronting with each other. You've got to pressure. You've got to run two ways. You can't let them just get through you and carve you up like that. So, very interesting.
I like that analogy, head of the snake. We'll have to use that somewhere. Every week we're going to have an analogy somewhere with the key words. Have you got a tinfoil
hat? I'm good at them. I just bugger them up, that's all.
Have you got a tinfoil hat?
Tinfoil hat for you. All right. Since we talked about Reed and the rising star, I think, because he's a third-year player too, I think Reed was definitely deserving, but they're just expecting Reed to get one later. I think a little bit of the Vic bias kicked in where they thought Darcy might not have a good enough game later in the year to get it. So they thought, here's a chance to give it to Darcy because he kicked three goals. We'll give it to him because he's played for two seasons and stuff and, you know, this is his third. They might not get that chance to nominate him again. So I think it was a subpar performance compared to Reed's. He had a good game, a couple of good marks. But because they thought Reed's basically, they look at him as guaranteed to get one eventually, they gave it to Darcy because they didn't think he would get the opportunities later. So even though he was underperforming that week compared to Reed, who we touched on is now leading the comp for broken tackles, they didn't give it to him. So there's a little one for you. That's my reasoning behind it. Reed will probably get an NAB Rising Star nom for a game he didn't probably deserve, wasn't as good as this one. Do you know what I mean? Because I think that happened with Hewitt's last year, didn't it? Hewitt had a great game, didn't get it. Then down the track, they gave it to him for a lesser game.
There's a history of it where they play a good game and then they get one for one where they weren't as great. Was there a conspiracy because Darcy's old man was in the news with talking about Corns? Were they trying to soften the blow?
I tell you what, like, I know Corns is very divisive because he's, lack of a better word, a bit of a dick. 80% of what he says is right. I always say that it's just 20% is just pure clickbait. But I was 100% on Kane Corns' side with this.
First of all,
I thought what he did was funny. And second of all, you're sitting there saying you're nasty and mean. I think what Darcy did on live air when Kane's giving his time calling in to speak to you, you know, and you railroad him like that, you're the one nasty and mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just very bizarre, I thought, very bizarre.
Well, before we wrap this up, I want to bring up another topic that's been very divisive, and I think it's been handled really, really badly by the AFL. Now, we heard last week, I think it was Port Adelaide Finlayson said a homophobic slur to one of the Essendon players, and it's taken 5-6 days to get a result. He's got 3 weeks. I think everyone's probably in the affirmative that he should have got 3 weeks. But, you know, there's double standards where a coach gets a $20,000 fine and a suspended 2 weeks. So I think the AFL have messed up a lot here and they need to, well, they've got it in place now, but they, you know, they've had problems with racism. So this should have been a precedent beforehand that any slurs incur 6 weeks. And today they're alluding that if this happens again, it will be 6 weeks. So, well, what are your views on it, Dan?
Okay, so my three takeaways is it should never have taken 5 days to do that.
Yeah. Correct.
You should have nipped in the butt, done it instantly. You had the information, you know what it said. Finlayson admitted. Because this all came out because Finlayson admitted and owned up to it. Which is a shame. Because Finlayson is not a bad person. He said a bad word that's offensive. And as people say that word now, a comment was made that people don't say that word, they spit it. It's like venom. You're doing that to hurt someone, basically. So, yeah, 3 weeks I'm fine with. The 5 day thing, yeah, that should never have happened. And then I'm with you with the Clarkson thing. The thing I'm like, what the hell, is why they just tiptoe around Clarkson, treat him like a boy's cup. And this is where they get called corrupt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No, it is. And let's change the scenario, right, but keep the same story. What if it was a punch and not abuse? If it was a punch? What do you think is worse, a player punching a player on the field or a coach going onto the field and punching an opposition player?
Oh, a coach.
Yeah. So why, if instead of a punch, if it's abused, was the coach given nothing? And don't give me 2 games suspended. That means nothing. That means if you do it again in the future, you're going to miss 2 games. So that's as far as I went. Glad he got 3 weeks. He deserved it. Glad he was remorseful because he's not a bad guy and you know, but you've definitely done the wrong thing. And how Clarkson didn't miss the game is just a joke.
Yeah, and that, there is another way, and I heard it on radio, and I can't remember who it was. Like Finlayson, he's gone up, he's apologetic straight away. He's actually apologised before the third quarter's up to the player, and then he's gone and told his team manager, so he let them know. And yeah, he got on the front foot. Part of me says, if somebody did that to me on the football field now and come up and apologised to me within 10, 20 minutes of the game and apologised, I would have left it. I would have said, let's not go anywhere with it. But I guess we're living in a different game, in a different world now. So there's different ways of looking at it. But I'm glad he owned up to it, because if he didn't, it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah. No, I'm not one to let it go. I think you need that punishment, even if you're apologetic.
Because at the higher level,
yeah, I get that. But at the higher level, you're a role model.
Yeah.
You know, kids can't, you know, like, and I know that's a cop-out, but it is true. Yep. You know, kids are lining up for your signature and that, so, you know.
Well, let's get back to the Eagles and Richmond game. It's at Optus. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be, I'm hoping they can get 50,000 there and loud 50,000 fans there. I want to see Reid take on Martin like everyone else. What's your winner margin and most goals, mate?
Eagles by 17, most goals, Jamie Cripps.
I think I said in the one that we recorded and lost, I said Eagles by 7 points, I think, from remember. And I can't remember who said for goals. So I'm going to say Waterman this time, because, and then hopefully Darling kicks a couple as well to get on the board. Hope actually he kicks three or four and passes Seamich's record. And Wayne, from memory, he had Richmond to win the game, didn't he, by 24 points, I think it was.
Yeah,
Wayne couldn't do it because he's got basketball commitments as a coach. So he'll be back for final siren. We'll get this out for you guys. It's a day late, but hopefully it's all right. We had technical difficulties, as I said before, and lost a whole lot. So we'll be working on a few different things. And if there is anyone out there with a computer business that wants to send something my way for Eagle Nation, just do it. Message me on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or whatever. And until next week, guys, let's hopefully we're singing the Eagle song, eh, Dan?
Yep, go Eagles.
Let's go.
Born is pride from isolation, a fortress built. We cross the nation, our colors share the West Coast sky.